word and not take a thing back from it. The title of the message today is What a Gathering That Will Be, Matthew 25 and Matthew 24. Let's read God's word together. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of His precious and of His eternal word. Today, as we look at the word of God, we recognize the Lord Jesus is talking in Matthew 24 and 25. He's talking some of His last words that He's going to say to His disciples here on this earth. And the one thing that continues to grow out of everything He says, and you read all the parables He used and all the things He said in this section of the gospel, and you come to the conclusion that He's concerned about a time when we're going to meet God. Now, my friend, I want you to notice He doesn't say if the Son of Man comes or should the Son of Man come. He's positive about it. Jesus is coming again. He said, if I go away, I will come again. And brothers and sisters, He has determined it. You listen to this here, and what is He talking about? Not a happen chance or a could-be chance or a 25th of a chance or something. They figure everything out mathematically nowadays, don't mount a hoot. But I can tell you one thing, my friend. There's no doubt about it. Jesus is coming again. And when Jesus comes, there's going to be a gathering. Hallelujah. And I have to tell you something, folks. You, whether you like it or not, have an appointment. I have an appointment. Every single human being in this world has an appointment. We all have an appointment to settle the affairs of this earth. I remember earliest memories of my childhood, probably some of them are in my granddaddy's store across the mountain here. And one of the things people would say as they came in this store, they would say, Mr. Marshall, I come to settle up with you. And when they said they came to settle up, that meant they came to pay the debt that they owed. They meant they came to pay on it. They meant to bring everything straight. So as I look at this scripture today, I think about the fact that it is appointed. Let's say that together. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. My friend, you're not just appointed to die, but you're appointed sometime after death to stand before the Almighty God. The scripture said we shall all give an account. That's settling up, isn't it? We shall all give an account of the deeds done in this body. My friend, there's not a one of us going to escape. Nobody can say, I belong to this group or that group or something, so we're not going. No one can say, I don't think I'll go in for that this time. Now, you can do that to your dentist and get away with it a long time, maybe a lifetime. You can do that to your lawyer. You can do that to your doctor. You can miss all the appointments that you're supposed to have and get away with it for a long time. But let me tell you something, my friend. In the appointed day and at the appointed time, for us all, and I'm not talking about us individually, but I'm talking about the whole human race, everybody from Adam and Eve down to the last baby that's born on this earth, my friend, one day will stand before the Almighty God and give an account of what we've been doing down here. Now, you say, well, that's like hellfire and damnation. Well, it don't have to be. It don't have to be. You could be looking forward to it. If you'll indulge the memories of an old man this morning, I'd like to just do that for a few minutes with you. One of the great things when I was a kid, my mother had 7 brothers and 3 sisters. So when we all got together, the house and the yard and every place else was full of people. And all the kids and then neighbors and friends would come, and there would be people everywhere. It was an exciting thing, especially as a little fellow like me. It was exciting for there to be a gathering and a homecoming. It was exciting to look out and see all those people that we hadn't seen for a while. We didn't have a telephone, and we didn't have a television, and barely had a radio, and lived up there in the holler, and didn't have electricity till I was 2 years old. And the day would come that the mail would run, and we'd get a postcard. Now, nobody minded to put what they had to say on a postcard, even if everybody in the U.S. Postal Service could read it, written on the back of the postcard, because you wasn't going to say anything that you're ashamed of anyway. But you get a postcard, and the postcard would tell us that so-and-so was coming. Uncle Ansel was getting leave from the Navy. He could come. Aunt Winters and Uncle Bill would be on number 4 train coming down from Bluefield. We need to go down to Naris to the station to meet him. And it would be an exciting thing. You would start looking for them to come, and you'd start waiting for them to come. Aunt June would be in the kitchen counting how many times she was whipping that cake batter around to make a cake. And Grandma would be cooking somewhere else, and Mommy would be cooking somewhere else. And somebody would go out to the spring and be sure that the spring box was all clear and the cold water was running, because we had watermelons and cantaloupes to put in it. Yeah, we didn't have a refrigerator. We had a hole in the creek that stayed cold all the time, and it worked real good, to tell you the truth. And everybody would be looking for that day to come. And then one day you'd listen real closely, and down the road you'd hear a car coming. You say, well, how do you know it's coming to your house? Well, if it wasn't coming to our house, it's coming to some of our kin people's houses. We was all kin to each other, or had connections to each other. And we would listen, and we'd hear down the road the car coming through the gravels and coming up the hill. And as one would come in, others, the local people, would come. And the word would spread, so-and-so's come home, and so-and-so's here. And everybody would come and bring and join together, and what a great time we would have. And I could never understand Grandma then, but I understand it completely today. She would look down the road and see him coming, and she'd get the end of her apron and wipe her eyes, because she was crying, because she could see him coming home. Funny thing was, that's what she did when they left and went. She cried when they came. She cried when they went home. She wiped tears coming and going. And some of them, there were tears of joy because she saw them, tears of sorrow because they were going away. But it would, all the people would come in. And what a wonderful thing that would be. What a time of gathering that would be. We had a time of gathering in this church that was every month. Some of us are here that can remember those days. The second Sunday of every month was Miss Effie's time to preach here in Clendenin. She preached at Pulaski on the first Sunday weekend of the month. She preached here on the second Sunday. She preached on the third Sunday at Little Creek at Alum Springs Holiness Church. And on the fourth Sunday, she preached at Lash Meet at the church out there. And then they would preach at Logan and Raven and all those places in between. But on the second Sunday, that was our Sunday. And on that Sunday, I would know that maybe Grandma had asked or Mommy had asked somebody, now the next second Sunday you come, you go home with us. And somebody in this church would take everybody home. Visitors would be coming from down in the coal fields where we've been having tent meetings and all kinds of other places. And people would be coming in and gathering in and preparing for that same deal as when the family came. And what a wonderful thing it was for some of us who can remember that, when once every month we gathered at this church, and once every month we were all of the outlying churches, we worshiped together, and we went home to eat dinner with each other, and we generally prayed with that family that we went home to eat with, and then we had to hurry and get back before Sunday night, because we had church in the, all day in the afternoon and then on Sunday night. And you say, Lord, I don't know how y'all could stand it. We couldn't stand it without it, folks. We were so excited about everybody gathering in and everybody being there that we didn't know what to do. It was just a wonderful time once a month that all the church people would come to this one church and we would eat together. We'd run home and help them milk the cows and help them feed the hogs and everything so we could get back to church on Sunday night. It was a great time. That gathering and fellowship was a great time. That was once a month. That always happened. But you know, I have to tell you something. Our homes had a once a month, a once a day gathering. Now, nowadays, I'm afraid that don't happen like it once did. But once upon a time, every day, we would say what a gathering this was. Because once every day at least, we sat down around a table by ourselves. Oh yes, without Alice Trebek or without the news or without anything like that, we sat down with our family around the table. My dad was always especially touched by that song, Supper Time. And you remember the words of that song about mother standing at the door and hollering out. Well, my father was raised on a flat acre farm in Ohio, and Grandma Kendall would go to the door and open the door, and she had a real loud voice, and she'd holler, and her voice would float out across the fields, and they would come in with their mules and wagons and whatever they'd been doing out in the field and sit down at the table. And once every day there was a gathering, and even in our little family, because I was an only child. But once every day, Mother and Daddy and I sat down around the table and asked the blessing over the food and talked to each other about what went on that day and what we were doing and shared the blessings of that day. What a blessing it was to share the blessing of that day. I have to tell you something. If you've got this vision of God as being some old grouchy man that's just out to get you and grumping about everything, you got the wrong vision of God. Do you know how many times in a year that God commanded his people to fast? Once. Once out of 365 days, God commanded his people to fast. You say, well, what else did he do? All the other times he commanded them to feast. The feast of the Passover, the feast of the tabernacles. All of the other times were feasts. You know what they were? They were times for his people to gather together. He commanded that the people would come to the Passover. He commanded that the people would come to the Pentecost and to the tabernacles. And you know what they did? They laid up for that. They saved their money, their grain, whatever they had. They saved their time and their calendar, and they looked forward to it. You remember the story from the scriptures about when Jesus was 12 years old and he got lost? You say, how in the world could Mary and Joseph lose their kid in a crowd like that? Because it was family. Every year, go back and study the history. Every year, especially the Passover when it came, the mothers, the fathers, the grandparents, and the kids would start out for Jerusalem. 3 or 4 or 5 days they had to travel on the road, and everybody would be traveling and camping out by the roadside and cooking over an open fire and renewing their fellowship and having great times. So when Mary and Joseph left Jerusalem and started home, it did not alarm them that Jesus was not with them, because it was a family time. He was with his grandparents or his aunts and uncles or whomever that was traveling in their company. They had a great time together. They had a rejoicing time together. And when they finally looked for him, they discovered he wasn't anywhere around. He was in the temple teaching. But that's the reason they couldn't find him, because it was a family affair. He was supposed to be with that crowd of people. The whole crowd was moving and camping, and what a great holiday that was. Isn't it amazing to me, in all the world, of all the people that are in the world, that God, when he made a covenant with the Jews, with God's people, with the Israelites, the Hebrews, whomever you call them, when he made a covenant time with them, do you know what he did? He limited the amount of hours that a man or a woman could be made to work. All over the world, men and women had to suffer 7 days a week work. Morning till night, men and women had to work, eking out barely a living, barely surviving. And then God came along with the law. And right away, everybody said, well, I don't like that old law. My friend, that law was the best thing that the world had. That was the word of God. Don't ever throw off on the law. Those Ten Commandments that God wrote with His own finger and composed in His own mind are God's word to you. And you know what one of those is? That God is going to give you time once a week. God's not going to make you work 7 days a week. God is going to give you a 6-day work week, and He's going to give you the 7th day off, and you're supposed to rest on that day. Isn't God great? Families to be together, they're to rest, they're to enjoy that day, they're to have that time together. What a great God we have. And we look at all these things and these times of gathering. What a wonderful thing it is to get together and to rejoice and to eat and to have things to share with one another. We share, you know, there'll be a new person in the family here, a new person in the family there. Maybe somebody's got married, some young person that needed a bride, or a husband's got married, or maybe they're having a new baby. We found out our new baby's coming to the household over in Fairview Acres 2 weeks earlier than they had predicted it would happen. I think the grandmas and the aunts did a better job of predicting than a gynecologist did, to tell you the truth. And they were all predicting quicker. So pray for Ashley and her family, because little boy there is going to have a little brother in a little while, and we're just looking forward to that. But that's the way families get together. That's what happens. We get together, we share the news, share the blessing of a family, and we join together. And you say, that's wonderful. Yes, it is, my friend. It's a shame that families can't be together more often today like that. It's a shame that more of us cannot share the time around the table. It's a shame that more of us cannot share times together like God has given us. And as Jesus ends His earthly ministry and begins preparing to leave this world through Calvary and the resurrection and go to heaven, He's thinking about all the people He's leaving behind. He's thinking about the church through the ages that He will look down through and see. And you know what He's looking forward to? You know what Jesus is looking forward to?
Say, bless God, He's looking for judgment day. He's going to send hell, fire, and damnation on people.
My friend, no. He's looking forward to the day that He can gather His children home and sit down around the Master's table at the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's looking forward to the day, my friend, that every Christian, every blood-bought, spirit-filled person in the world that's ever lived and ever will live, my friend, will resurrect one day and will stand before the Almighty God. And as they stand before Him, my friend, and they hear the blessed Savior calling, and they hear it's like Grandma Kendall hollering for supper time. And I think maybe if I listen real close, I think maybe I can just hear, the voice of the Savior calling us to come home, come home. It's supper time. Come on home now, children. The day's work is done. The night time is on its way. The troubles and trials of this world are about to pass behind, and we're about to leave behind all of the trials of this world and to enter into the joys. And you know what? You know what? Any gathering we have here, it's so sad, no matter how good it is, no matter how wonderful it is, no matter how fulfilling it is, in the end, my friend, the sun sets and the darkness comes and a new day dawns upon us. My brothers and sisters, in that day, when God gathers, and that's the way He talks about it, He speaks of the angels coming together, the jewels home. He speaks of the angels coming together, the people home and together in the crop and together in the people. And my friend, as he reaches out through the angels and through his spirit to gather us all in, think what a day that will be. My gracious above. Think about it, my friend. The Savior calling out from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the trumpet and the archangel, the voice of the Lord coming down over all of the powers of the universe and past all of the planets and stars and things that's out there, and coming down to this earth and reaching down into the grave of each and every Christian and bringing that body to life and that spirit coming into that body to live again forever and ever. Let's say it, forever and ever. No end to it. The scripture said, and so shall they be with the Lord. Isn't it great? And so shall they be with the Lord. There's no end to it. There's no end to it, my friend, forever. Oh, how I long sometimes for those days when we were putting our melons in the creek and churning our butter in the crock, all that thing, waiting for loved ones to come home and share the good times. You see, so often when we talk about the gathering of God's people before Him and the day of judgment, my friend, we put so much fire and brimstone in it that we don't let people enjoy it. The wonderful thing is, my friend, that that ought to be an attractive day to us. We ought to all be marking our calendars and say, now, Jesus, just which day did you say? Well, He's not going to tell you that, is He? He's not going to tell you exactly. If some preacher comes by and says, I've been studying out my figures here, and I've met those preachers, by the way, and they say that right here on this date and at this time when Jesus is coming again, you don't follow that preacher because he don't know what he's talking about. He don't know what he's doing, my friend. No one knows the day or the hour, not even the Son of Man himself, when he was here on earth, knew the day or the hour. But my friend, what we do know is that he's coming. We got a postcard from heaven called the Bible. And you know what it said? It said, I'm coming soon. Be ready to meet me, Jesus. And my friend, the question is, are we ready? Are we ready for that wonderful, glorious day? No wonder we sing, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. I could not help but think of this old hymn. We used to sing it a lot, and it's such a blessing. And I just want to read the words of this blessed hymn to you this morning. At the sounding of the trumpet, when the saints are gathered home, we will greet each other by the crystal sea with the friends and all our loved ones that are awaiting us to come. What a gathering of the faithful that will be. When the angels of the Lord proclaim that time shall be no more, we shall gather and be the saved and ransomed see. Then we'll meet again together on that bright and celestial shore. What a gathering of the faithful that will be. At that great and final judgment, when the hidden comes to light, when the Lord in all His glory we shall see, and the bidding of our Savior, come ye blessed to my right, what a gathering of the faithful that will be. What a gathering at the sounding of the glorious Jubilee. What a gathering of the faithful that will be. Oh, my friend, you don't want to miss it, do you? You don't want to miss it, do you? How many people in here have been saved over 10 years? Hallelujah. How many people have been saved over 20 years? Amen. How many people have been saved over 30 years? All right. How many people have been saved over 40 years? Amen. We're telling on ourselves now. How many people have been saved over 50 years? Amen. How many of us have been saved over 60 years? Is this the only hand up? There you go. Over 60 years. Is there anybody here been saved over 70 years? Didn't think so. You're not old enough. Oh, my friend, I have to tell you something Sister Nellie Mooney used to say every time she testified. Every step has been worthwhile. My friend, hadn't always been the step I wanted to take. Hasn't always gone in the direction I wanted to go. But I can tell you with my Savior's hand in mine, bowing at the throne of God in that day, that glorious day when we gather, not to worry about fire and brimstone, but when we gather to rejoice with the family of God. Can you, man, you talk about church. What kind of service are we going to have when we all stand before Him? You say, oh, it'd be so great, everybody running to mama and to daddy and to children. And that will be true when we get to it. But first things first, my friend, the first thing that John saw when he saw heaven, that it had walls around it, but he had a door in it. And somebody had gone through the door and left it wide open. That was Jesus. And as he looked through the door, he didn't notice that it had walls of jasper or gates of pearl. He didn't notice that there was a sea of glass. But you know what he did notice? He noticed that there was a throne of high, out of which flowed a river of living water. And sitting on that throne was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was coming again to receive us to himself. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we have the opportunity to come into your presence. And Lord, we're thankful that we have the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you that we have the opportunity to know for sure that we're saved, that our sins are under the blood, that we're washed whiter than snow. Oh, Jesus, I pray this morning, if there's a soul in this house this morning who is not saved and does not know for sure, will you touch that heart in a wonderful way? Would you give us grace to stand and strength to go on? And Lord, I pray today, because I know you didn't save us to lose us. You saved us just to keep us until the day of redemption. I pray that every soul here this morning will hear the gospel. If they're not saved, that they'll hear it down in their soul. And Lord, that you'll speak to us and open our hearts and open our souls and spirit, Father, that we can be saved. Heal the sick here this morning, Lord. Save the lost and redeem those that are nearest hell. Father, we ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, that thy Holy Spirit will bless us this morning. For it is in his name we pray, and the congregation said, amen.